Sharadarkam sujam sthapan bhutanam udupoharat deha bimanacham bodho mukundo brajayoshitam. The autumn moon relieved all creatures of the suffering caused by the sun's rays. Just as wisdom relieves a person of the misery caused by identifying with his material body, and as Lord Mukunda relieves Brindaban's ladies of the distress caused by their separation from him. Kamashopatta mirgemam sharadvimalatharakam sattvayuktam yatachitam Shabda Brahmartha Darshanam. Free of clouds and filled with clearly visible stars, the autumn sky shone brilliantly, just like the spiritual consciousness of one who has directly experienced the purport of the Vedic scriptures. Purport. The clear and starry autumn sky can also be compared to the pure heart of the devotee. The spiritual nature is always brilliant, clean, and blissful, and this spiritual nature called Vaikuntha immediately satisfies all the desires of the soul. This is the secret of Krishna consciousness. Akandam mandalo vyomi rarajo dukanai shashi Yata yadupati krishno vrishne chakra vritho bhuvi. The full moon shone in the sky, surrounded by stars, just as Sri Krishna, the lord of the Yadu dynasty, shone brilliantly on the earth, surrounded by all the vrishnis. Purport. Srila Sanatan Goswami explains that in Vrindavan, the full moon is eternally risen. And this full moon is like the manifestation of the absolute truth, Sri Krishna. When he was manifest on earth, Lord Krishna was surrounded by prominent members of the Vrishni dynasty, such as Nanda, Upananda, Vasudev, and Akura. The autumn moon relieved all creatures of the suffering caused by the sun's rays. Just as wisdom relieves a person of the misery caused by his identifying with his material body, and as Lord Mukunda relieves Vrindavan's ladies of the distress caused by their separation from him. Free of clouds and filled with clearly visible stars, the autumn sky shone brilliantly, just like the spiritual consciousness of one who has directly experienced the purport of the Vedic scriptures. The full moon shone in the sky, surrounded by stars, just as Sri Krishna, the lord of the Yadu dynasty, shone brilliantly on the earth, surrounded by all the Vrishnis. Beautiful description of the autumn moonlit night within the forests of Vrindavan. Generally, the nighttime in this material world is the time when people in the mode of ignorance, people who have sinful propensities, become very much awake, alert, and powerful. But the spiritual world, Sridham Brajbhumi, is completely free from the three modes of material nature. It is the abode of Shuddha Sattva, where there is only pure goodness, where every change in the atmosphere is perfectly orchestrated by Lord Sri Krishna simply to further enhance the loving reciprocations between himself and his devotees. It is described here that the autumn moon is the most beautiful moon of the year. Srila Prabhupada has often told us, and even within his writings, he explains that Sharat Purnima, the full moon of the month of Kartik, autumn, is the most beautiful night of the whole year. And Vrindavan Chandra, the moon of Vrindavan, is the most beautiful manifestation of Krishna's potency that he reveals through material nature. We find that Krishna, as well as all of the great incarnations, every part of their body practically is compared to the beauty of their moon. Moon-like face, Ramchandra, Vrindavan Chandra, Navadvip Chandra. Such a special position the moon has. In fact, it is considered to be the very symbol of beauty in this world. And therefore, when the Lord appears in his various manifestations, his beauty is so unparalleled, so inconceivable, so unlimited, that the only possible manifestation in this world it can be compared to is the full moon. What is so special about the full moon? That it gives light, but this light is very cooling, very refreshing, very nourishing. It creates an atmosphere. An atmosphere. The materialists, their perverted reflection because of their lusty desires. The full moon creates an atmosphere of romance. So even they are so much attracted by the moon and the feelings of the moon. But for a devotee, in the full moon, he simply experiences the benevolent grace of God. Just as the moon gives light and coolness in the pitch dark of the night, similarly, the remembrance of Krishna gives light, illumination, refreshes our heart, our mind, and our soul, even in the darkness of this material world. It is a fact that this material world is a place of darkness. We are experiencing this now in Bombay. How much darkness there is that prevails. In darkness there is always fear, because In darkness, we do not know what our next step will bring us into. There is no certainty in a condition of darkness, where you will end up, what is before you, what is behind you, what is on all sides. So similarly, life is so uncertain in this world of darkness. Darkness in violence, in hatred, in envy, in greed, lust, illusion. These are the forces, the powers of darkness. And factually, they control this material world in the age of Kali. Kali literally means, Kali means black. Kali means the age of darkness. And this darkness is perpetuated through the two processes of quarrel and hypocrisy. And what is it that we are finding here? In the name of religion, people are exploiting the principles for their own motives. In the name of peace and love, there is violence and hatred. This is called hypocrisy. When hypocrisy comes into the system of religion, it becomes the greatest threat to human society. When hypocrisy is present within our material dealings, it creates impious life. But when hypocrisy comes into religion, it destroys the very fiber of sanctity, which is the only means of creating harmony in this world. And quarrel. Where there is hypocrisy, there must be quarrel. Due to the bodily conception of life, Janmasi, Krishna Rishabdev says, Janasya moho yam maham mameti. We think in terms of I and mine. Therefore, so much quarrel, so much fighting. This is my land. This is my body. This is my wealth. This is my religion. This is my caste, my society. So much conflict. So much quarrel. This is all the influences of darkness. It is creating darkness, and it is existing ever only within darkness. Such qualities of dissension cannot exist in the light. Therefore, in this darkness of night that we are living in, people are burning buildings. People are murdering each other. There's constant rumors. Nobody knows what is true and what is not true. Nobody knows. In this way, due to darkness, there's great chaos. And the fact is that physically we are within this darkness on all sides. But even in the darkest night, the presence of the full moon gives relief and light. So similarly, even in the darkness of this night of Kali Yuga, that cannot be changed. When we remember Krishna, who is Vrindavan Chandra, he is like the moon that rises within our heart. When we remember Ramchandra, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Gaura Chandra, that is why within our temple, This is the name that has been given to our Murtis. Nithai Gouda Chandra. Because in this place of great darkness, he is like the full moon, giving relief, giving light, giving infinite hope into our lives. So therefore it is explained in the Shastra that in this age of Kali Yuga, there is only one benediction. That is the remembrance of Krishna. And that remembrance rises within the horizon of our minds when we sincerely chant his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Politicians, they want to try to make adjustments to change the chaotic condition of society. But at the most, what they can do is suppress it for some time. And while it's being suppressed, it appears that things are a little peaceful. But like modern medicine, when a disease attacks your body, we want to suppress the symptoms. But in the process of suppressing it, although you cannot perceive what's taking place, the disease is getting more and more terrible from within. And it's just a matter of time till the symptom is worse. And then it comes out worse and worse and worse. Because you see, through material adjustments, you cannot purify a man's heart. All you can do is suppress his activities. But ultimately, it has to all come out. So in this darkness, the fact is that during the night, it's dark. We can't change that. But the moon gives light. And the moon's light is different than man-made lights. Because when the full moon rises, it gives light to the entire world equally. Our man-made lights, we may have our light bulbs, and we may have our fluorescent lights, and we may have our spotlights, but how much of the earth does any of our lights illuminate? Practically nothing. And if there's a power shortage, they all go out. Huh? But the full moon gives light to everyone, everywhere, without discrimination. Even in the darkness of night. And there's no question of power shortage. The moon god Chandra does not require a generator in case there is blackout. By Krishna's grace, the moon is just generating volumes upon volumes upon volumes of light, cooling, transcendent rays. And especially it is described here, the autumn moon. So it is described here by Srila Sanatana Goswami that the autumn moon, the full moon, is eternally present in its full manifestation in Vrindavan. It is eternally risen. That is Vrindavan Chandra. So, a devotee understanding this knows that there is only one hope. There is only one relief, and that is in Krishna. Therefore, a devotee is always seeking shelter of Krishna. Never seek shelter of the temporary adjustments and arrangements of this world. We may have to do the needful to make adjustments in this world. As long as we have physical bodies, that is required. But a devotee puts no faith in these things. A devotee puts 100% of his faith only in Krishna. Superficially, externally, we may have to make some adjustments, but that will not work. It's just a temporary arrangement. It is only seeking refuge in Krishna that there is any solution. And there is only one problem, that we have forgotten Krishna. That when the big, dark cloud of ignorance enters into our life, it covers the full moon of Krishna's presence in our heart. And it leaves the whole world in darkness. It leaves our entire life in darkness. But what is within reflects in everything we see without. A person's heart, a person's consciousness, what is within is manifested everywhere through his eyes, through his ears, through all of his senses. If we see the beauty of Krishna within our own lives, we will see the beauty of Krishna everywhere, even through our senses. But if there is darkness in our own hearts, if we are forgetful of Krishna, then we will only see darkness everywhere. So this is the beautiful lesson to be learned through this morning's verses. When our hearts are free of the clouds of all of our independent ways of thinking, we can perceive everything as it is, like a clear, visible autumn night. And it is explained here that just like the spiritual consciousness of one who has directly experienced the purport of the Vedic scriptures. In yesterday's verses, we were reading about the arrival of autumn. The ocean and the lakes became silent, the water still, just like a sage who has desisted from all material activities and given up the recitation of Vedic mantras. In other words, dharma projita kayata vatra paramanirmat saranam satam. When a person is completely free from all personal selfish desires and vibrates the glories of the Lord exclusively, giving up all of the materialistic paths provided in the various scriptures of the world, then he has understood the purport, the essence. Just like yesterday I was listening to one tape of Srila Prabhupada. He was talking about Prahlad Maharaj. Beautiful tape. He was explaining what was Prahlad Maharaj's qualification? He was not a great scholar. He was innocent, and he had faith. He said, that is what we are looking for in this Krishna consciousness movement. You cannot understand Krishna unless you have innocent faith. Prahlad knew that whether I'm being thrown in fire, whether I'm being thrown in the ocean, whether I'm being fed poison, deadly poison, that Krishna loves me, he will protect me. That's all. He said, you have to become that simple to realize God. Big, big knowledge gives no access to Krishna. It's helpful in preaching, and it's helpful for discriminating, but ultimately, unless it is based on the essential principle of faith, devotion, it has no bearing in our spiritual advancement whatsoever. So this was Prahlad's qualification. He was so innocent. He was so simple. And he had such faith. Like a child. He was a child. Until we become like that, we can never know Krishna. Doesn't matter how many scriptures you memorize. Doesn't matter how many austerities you perform. It doesn't matter how many mantras you sing. We have to become so simple, so innocent, and so faithful that Krishna will protect me. Krishna is good. Krishna loves me. This is the essence of spirituality. This was the category of the Brijbasis. They were so innocent and so simple. They simply knew Krishna. And they knew in every circumstance, Krishna is my lover, Krishna is my friend, and Krishna is my protector. And there was just no question in their minds about this. And this simple, innocent faith in the grace of God, as described here, it is the purport of the Vedic scriptures. It is the essence. But our tendency is to complicate everything. And the nature of the mind, because it wants to justify not surrendering to Krishna, it creates so many complications. Why this? Why that? Why this person said that? That person shouldn't have done this. In this way, so many justifications to distract our attention away from Krishna. Arjuna was spoken the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita, but what was the conclusion? He became like a child. Krishna, I accept whatever you say, and I will do whatever you want. That was the purport of Bhagavad Gita. The culmination of all the philosophy is Arjuna became simple, innocent, like a child. Krishna, anything. I'm yours. I have faith in you. What would you like? That is the purport of bhakti. That is the purport of life. Is the ultimate goal. And in this way, there is no question of material qualifications or disqualifications. If we are sincere, Krishna grants us this faith, and our life becomes uncomplicated. Krishna says, for the doubting mind, there is neither happiness in this world or the next. Doubt is a great demon. It creates so much confusion, darkness, and complication. We're always thinking, even the simplest instruction, why like this? Why? What is the motive? What is behind it? Huh? This complication just ruins our spiritual life. A devotee just accepts, yes, what Guru says is good, what Krishna says is good. I accept. It's good for me. Simple living, high thinking. Let the moon of Vrindavan Chandra come into our heart, to dispel all darkness and fear. Let our minds be like the clear sky, free from these clouds. Let every star cast its illumination. Because the fact is, just like Krishna is the full moon, we perceive every living being like a brilliant illuminating star within the sky of our consciousness. Then there is actual beauty and love in our life. So let us take shelter of Sri Gaura Chandra, Sri Nitai Chandra, Sri Vrindavan Chandra, Krishna Chandra. Let us take shelter of that moon in this dark world. It is our only hope, our only shelter. And that moon is casting himself so mercifully at every moment in our life through his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. But we must be convinced that it is only the name of God that can give us shelter and relief in this age of darkness. There is nowhere and no one else to turn to. Any questions? How to melt our stone-like heart by associating with Krishna's devotees, by rendering devotional service at their lotus feet, and by chanting his holy names attentively. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Is the only way. Any other questions? Just like in Vrindavan, there is a place called Charan Pahari near Kamyavan. In that place, Krishna climbed a mountain and stood on top of a big stone rock and began to play his flute. And the sound of his flute was so sweet that that stone melted. And to this day, over 5,000 years later, we can see very clearly the footprints of Krishna. So in the same way, if we simply listen to the beautiful sound of the holy name, it will melt our stone-like hearts. And the imprint of Krishna's lotus feet will be eternally impressed upon us. Then our heart becomes a holy place. Is there any other questions?
Why does Krishna tolerate evil so much? I mean, evil exists, that means he's tolerating it.
He does not tolerate it. He does not tolerate evil. He allows it to go on the basis of our free will, but through the laws of karma, there is a reaction for everything. No one gets away with anything in this world. You can hide from the government, you can hide from your friends, you can hide from your relatives, you can hide from the devotees, but you cannot hide from the Paramatma in your heart. And he is the controller of this material existence. And whatever we do, there will inevitably be a reaction. Evil will be responded by Krishna with pain and suffering, punishment. Just like if a criminal commits a crime, the government cannot stop that person from doing it, but it does not tolerate it. The person is, a rope is put around his neck and he is hung. After the government hangs that person, do you say that the government tolerated it? No, he got his reaction. The laws were upheld. So similarly, every time a person engages in evil or sinful activities, he's sowing the seed of future pain and punishment, and he cannot escape it. The laws of nature do not tolerate anything, in the sense that you must accept the reaction. It may not come immediately, but it will come. And great devotees, they prefer the reactions to come immediately, to just get it all out of them. But materialistic people, because they don't want to give it up, there's no end to their reactions. So they want to postpone it as far as possible off. But you cannot do that for long. Is there any other questions? Today is historical. Yes.
Stop it. Somehow, in spite of hearing so many control, there's no solution to convince the mind that every action which is not Vedic injection is going to have a severe reaction.
Theoretically, you know. We must be determined. Prabhupada said determination is what differentiates a man from an animal. We must make a vow of determination. Drita vratta. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha drita vrata namashyantashtamam bhaktya nitya yukta upashate. Krishna explains who is qualified for spiritual life. A person who is always chanting my holy names and endeavoring with great determination. We have the power to be determined if we just take it. Krishna will give us the strength if we just want it. The character of a human being is based on how much he's willing to suffer and make sacrifice and show his determination even in the face of difficulty. That is the character that makes a human being something. Something great. So we must hear, otherwise we will not know what to be determined for or how. So we must hear regularly. We should be hearing Bhagavatam every day. either coming to temple or reading at home, we should hear Bhagavatam every day. We should be chanting the holy names in a fixed number every day. Satatam kirtayantamam yatantas jadritavrita. And on the basis of what we hear and in the strength of the holy name, we must endeavor with great determination. Spiritual life has no effect for a lazy person. If we're not endeavoring to give up our bad qualities, that's laziness. Krishna says we must overcome this lethargy, and we must endeavor. Endeavor means I will do it whether I feel like it or not. Endeavor means also I will not do it no matter what. We know what's right. We can't simply wait. When will I become so purified when I do not do these things? This is nonsense philosophy. No. In order to get purified, I have to give it up now at all costs. I have to accept it now at all costs. Satatam kirtiyantamam yatantas jadritavrata. Always chant the holy name and endeavor with determination. And what do we do at the time of initiation? We take vows. I will chant the holy names regularly. And I will follow these principles. And in order to follow these principles, we have to endeavor with determination. And these principles are only the beginning. When we hear the Bhagavatam every day, we understand what all the principles that we must follow, the basic principles. And we must endeavor with determination. And if we're not willing to do that, we are not worthy of realization. It's no question of just trying. There's no determination in just trying. Oh, I'll try. Determination means I will do it no matter what. With God's grace and Guru's grace, it will be done. But I will be determined. Nothing will stop me. Come hell or high water, it will be done. Better that I die than give up my determined vow. This is what it takes to make advancement in spiritual life. We have to have this substance. Materialistic people do it for money or for victory. How much more a devotee should do it for Krishna? How much determination we have in our business. So many reversals, but we just fight at all costs. Right? But for spiritual life, to overcome these bad qualities, I'll try. I tried my best. This is trying, try our best. To try your best means I will die before I give in to Maya. Haridas Thakur said, you cut my body into millions of pieces, and every part will be chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Nothing will stop my preaching of Krishna consciousness, he said. Nothing. No power on earth. This must be our determination. And this is the price. Dhritavrata. Firm vow of determination in our life. After Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna told Arjuna to fight, he didn't say, I'll try. I'll try my best. He said, I'll do it. Whether I win or lose, I'm going to do it. I'm going to fight for you. That is what is required. Any other questions? Why you changed your mind?
Just talking about this determination, Maharaj. Mm-hmm. More and more we feel it that we are determined and we go for it with any cost. And as and when we go for it, we feel it that we are able to make spiritual progress. But on one side we are making spiritual progress, and on the other side, pride comes into the picture. We feel it that I can do it, but other people can't do it. And on the contrary, making advancement in spiritual life, we are coming down, because that pride is much more worse than the determination which we have it. Because pride is completely disturbing whole consciousness altogether. So how to see that the determination is also there, at the same time pride is not there?
Krishna says you have to give up two things, lethargy and egoism, simultaneously. With the same determination, you're trying to give up your laziness, you have to have the same determination to give up your egoism, your pride. That means we have to be determined to not boast about our good qualities, just like we should be determined not to give in to sinful activities. Right? You have to be determined in both senses. I will not break the principles, I will not gossip, I will not blaspheme others, I will be determined not to do that. I will not selfishly exploit others, but at the same time, I will not boast my own glories. I will not try to put myself in a higher position than others. I will take the position of a servant, and I will serve. You have to have that determination. It is only by determination that we can attract Krishna to give up this pride. Just like the story is given of this sparrow who laid her eggs in the ocean, and then the ocean stole away the eggs, and she made a vow that I'm going to, if you do not give me back these eggs, my children, I am going to dry you up, ocean. So with this little mother sparrow's little mouth, beak, she just took one drop at a time and carried it to a distant place. Do you think there was any threat to the ocean? Yes. Because of her determination, even though it was against all odds, that determination attracted the higher power of Garuda. So right now, the eggs of our Krishna consciousness, of humility and devotion, are now drowned by this ocean of pride, egoism, and spiritual lethargy. And right now, our humility and our devotion and our love of God is just utterly drowned in the bottom of this huge ocean. So like the mother sparrow, we have no hope of getting rid of all the pride and all of the attachments within our heart. But if with determination, with the same determination of that little bird, I'm going to do it no matter what. If I give everything I have, ananyaschintayantomam, Krishna says, if you just give everything you have, I will do the rest. If we have that determination to be the humble devotee of the Lord and surrender to the will of Guru, then Krishna, he will take the job upon himself to deliver our soul from this ocean of depth of maya, of ignorance, of pride, of egoism, of laziness. If he sees we're trying with that determined vow, he will help us. But do you think Garuda would have come if that mother bird would have just said, well, maybe tomorrow I'll start trying. I'll do a little, maybe 1 hour a day. Huh? She would have never gotten her eggs. Similarly, unless we give everything with determination, we will never get our Krishna consciousness. You must do it with determination. And then Krishna will come and he will rescue you. Thank you very much, Adivo.